So you're at the antique fair today, and you're the first stall I came over to because you caught my eyes with all these old pictures of Irish and famous singers. Tell us a bit about them. So right now we're looking at Freddie Mercury.
We're looking at Freddie Mercury taken in Slain, and these are all black and white pictures. They were taken by my husband Colm Henry, who was a fairly reasonable music biz photographer at the time, and he did a lot of work for Hot Press. And so he would be commissioned to go out and actually produce, you know, take photos of anything that was really going on in the music business. And Slain was the big event every year, you know, getting bigger and bigger. And so this one we're looking at here is Freddie taken from that time. We've also got a number of other ones from the Slain concerts. I'll just find you one. I'm flicking through the book as we go through. That's Bowie. And then we've got the Stones, and we've got Phil Lynott when he was there. This one that I just completely whizzed through is Sinead O'Connor taken at Dublin Airport
1985,
when she was just going to London for the first time, and Colin was sent up to the airport to grab a shot of her before she left. And this is the one, and it's turned into a classic shot, and everybody loves it because I think you can see complete innocence in her face, can't you?
I was going to say, like, when you look straight into her eyes,
yeah,
she does look like your genuine 18-year-old girl about to travel
that's
the world.
That's it, absolutely. And that's exactly what the situation was. And it's amazing, you know, when they say a picture paints 1,000 words, just captured in that minute. We all know her life pattern and everything, and she was nervous going over there and stuff like that. But she was a great model for photography. I mean, she was a classic beauty, you can see that. But she was natural and giving, you know, because not everybody wants to be photographed and not everybody's into it, especially when they're leaving for the first time. But she gave a lot, so that's how you can see it in that picture. So there's lots of them, really. I mean, it's but Dylan again at Slain, the Dubliners, Shane, Rory Gallagher on his car taken on the docks in Cork, and that's his old Zephyr.
Your husband must have been travelling a lot so for these pictures.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he did a lot of U2, early U2 stuff as well. I mean, that was his job, you know, and he loved it. I mean, it was kind of life's work to him. But it's, you know, they always say that if you're doing something you like, you never work because you're just doing what you like all the time.
But, and especially when you get to meet all these incredible people.
That's right, that's right. I mean, he took it for granted, you know. And when people look at them now, they kind of go, oh, my God, did you actually meet that person? Yeah, he did. I mean, he endless conversations with Phil, you know, and got to know him really well, Phil Lynott. But, I mean, he never thought at the time, taking these what have turned out to be really iconic pictures, he didn't realise what he was doing.
Yeah.
But I think with black and white photography, it doesn't age in the same way as colour.
No,
and you
doesn't.
Can live with it as an image on your wall for so much longer. So, yeah, I mean, it's I'm delighted. I mean, it's great for me when I'm at an antique fair because it gets everybody talking, because you'll be amazed at the amount of people that come along and say they were at these gigs.
Yeah. Now, personally, I wasn't even
around. Exactly. I mean, you're so young. We're such oldies.
And even look at this one. Did you really see Bob Marley?
Well, that was Bob Marley at Daily Mount, yeah. He came over, and he unfortunately died 6 months after that photograph was taken. But I think people look at that now and think, my goodness, was Bob Marley in Dublin? Yeah, he was, you know. I mean, a lot of things happened over that period of time that when you look back on it now, you're kind of gobsmacked at, you know, that it happened.
That's the beauty of pictures, though. They bring back all those memories again. You forget these things happen, but when you look at these pictures and realise that's Daily Mount Park in Dublin City, 1980.
Yeah, and it's Bob Marley, and at the height of his fame, you know, it's not as if he was just starting out. That was the height of his fame, and he was very well known then. But he was a giver. I mean, Marley was a giver to people, you know, he was that kind of temperament. I mean, I suppose you could say he was obviously taken advantage of a lot because he was so, you know, giving as a person. But, you know, now look at the classic shots we've got of him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, so many people love that shot.
That's it. Like, and no one can say, oh, I have that too. That's personally yours.
Yeah.
And you know, that's your story behind it.
Yeah.
Were you at any of these concerts when he was taking the pictures?
I was at some of the Slain ones. I wasn't at this one. I didn't actually know him when he took this one. We met late after this. But, I mean, he's a very self-effacing man. If you spoke to him now, he wouldn't think this is a big deal at all.
Yeah.
He's very quiet, very understated, But myself and my children, you know, his son, who's 23, he knows the value of them. I mean, he just wants to know more and more about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's trying to put a collection. It's not just the photographs. He's trying to get anecdotes from the photo sessions that he did with these people, you know, because there's so much background information that goes with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would be talking away and chatting away.
Of course.
It's to try and get that, because, you know, to get that from Colin, to go back in his memory and say, right, now, you know, when you took that shot of Marley, I mean, what were you doing? How many people were there? What was the atmosphere like? And particularly more so with these ones.
So we're looking
at Phil. Because he had endless conversations with Phil when he was doing those.
Yeah. You know. I wonder, how did he feel when he found out he passed away?
Oh, dreadfully upset. I mean, dreadfully upset. Everybody was, you know. I mean, we knew that he was having difficulties. Everybody knew that. But, gosh, you know, you never think somebody that young with that kind of an entourage around them is going to just disappear. You think somebody can step in and maybe take control and sort of save him from himself in a way.
Yeah, he was making history.
Yeah.
He didn't even realize it.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that's what it is. Is that people don't realize what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. You know. Mm-hmm. I think if you're conscious of what you're doing, then this the whole attitude changes, and I think people can see it. They believed in him because he was a natural. He was just a natural.
Mm-hmm.
I met him once on a plane coming back from Heathrow. I was coming back to Dublin, and he was on a plane. And, I mean, you couldn't miss him. And he had an eye for women. I mean, he just, you know, he was just a guy like that.
Did you chat to him, or did you just see him?
Just a kind of very nervous hello. I was very young at the time, and I was a bit intimidated, a very nervous hello. And I was sitting about two rows in front. If I hadn't been with my boyfriend, I might have been a bit more over the top. But,
that's very understandable.
Yeah, but but he was a nice guy, just a really genuinely nice, generous man, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, and we've the other ones we've got. I mean, the Phil and Rory. I'll have to talk about the Phil.
Yeah,
and Rory.
Let's talk about this one,
because this is Phil and Rory together playing together, and that's the only time that they did that, got the opportunity to. And then both of them died so young, really, considering that they never really came around to it again. And you two were the backup. They were support act on this one. It was a fundraiser for Hot Press in Stokestown, Punchestown, sorry.
1982.
Yeah, and it's just a classic shot. People who love both of them as being the most important Irish musicians, really, bar you two, love this shot, you know, because it's just so natural, isn't it? There's no pretense, there's nothing. It's just two guys playing.
Even their eyes are closed in this one. You can tell just the passion is really coming from them.
Well, they just loved it, you know. They enjoyed it. They weren't doing it for any other reason than just to get so much energy from it. So I love having them, I must say, because as I said to you earlier, I love the fact that when people come and flick through them, they brings back a whole load of memories. And for people your age group and younger, they're kind of amazed, like you were, at what was going on here over that period of time.
It's just funny to see all these pictures and realize, like, the stories behind them.
That's it, exactly.
Because, like, that, every picture does have a story behind it.
Yeah, yeah.